Lowland Nika's SonarChem system has won the UK Space Agency's Aqua Lunar Challenge, an innovation that could help astronauts purify water from lunar ice. And he has joined us in the BizNews studio. Hi, Lowland. So nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, well, this challenge, it's an honor. So what exactly is your innovation and how does it work?
Well, the task we were given was to develop a system to purify frozen water in the South Polar region of the moon. And this has been looked at in the past by agencies such as NASA, but no one's come up with a definitive solution. So it's still considered an open problem to be solved. I proposed using a novel approach to water treatment called sonochemical degradation. So the sono part means it's the use of sound to degrade contaminants in liquid water. And this formed the core of the entire process.
So you were competing against professors from major universities in the UK for the same challenge, but your design won.
Yes. So this has surprised me a little. There were many teams competing, so over 70 applications, 30 of which were considered sufficiently complete, and 10 teams considered as finalists and given seed funding to develop the technology further. So I was one of those 10 teams, and then out of those 10, this team has won the entire challenge.
So tell us a little bit more about the Aqua Lunar Challenge. What exactly is it?
So it is a £1.2 million challenge being run in between the Space Agency in the UK and that in Canada. So there's two parallel tracks. There's a UK track and a Canadian track, and they are teams competing in both countries. So we're competing separately. So the UK teams are competing with UK teams, and the same for Canada. And within the UK track, my company has won the challenge. There's a Canadian track which is still going on. So they have more rounds to do, but the total value of the challenge is still the same. It's just structured differently. The UK track has concluded. And this was the first challenge competition run in the UK by the Space Agency. I've seen many of these challenges in the past. They have tended to be run by organizations like NASA or the XPRIZE Foundation, and it's a way to spur innovation. So the topic that's proposed is considered unsolved. So it's a challenge and it's open to anyone. It doesn't have to be a person or an entity from a particular sector. It could be the everyday person, someone tinkering around in their garage who thinks they have a sufficiently good idea and can enter the challenge competition with the goal of winning a big pot of money at the end.
So what happens to your invention now?
It was considered by the judges to be sufficiently promising, such that I was awarded the financial prize at the end, which will allow me to continue to develop that technology for water purification on the moon, as well as a few spin-out technologies I've identified on the way. So I've identified two spin-out technologies for space application and two for terrestrial application, which have nearer term product potential. So the potential is to generate revenue in the shorter term, because as you would guess, developing a system to purify water on the lunar surface is a longer term goal with a later payoff for a company. And I've got to keep this company going in the shorter term.
So there are applications on Earth that you're working on?
There are. So the challenge of purifying water on the moon is to develop a compact system that uses low power with minimal maintenance requirements and operating in a harsh environment. And there are niche applications on Earth where a derivative of this technology would be sufficiently interesting to develop a product and sell that product into the terrestrial market. So I'm currently working with one potential customer for an effluent treatment device, and I've identified another potential application, which I will pursue further this year.
Well, tell us more about your company. How many people are working with you?
So it's a three-year-old research and development-focused entity. I started initially as a consultancy, helping early-stage startups and sometimes larger companies get from idea to first prototype. So I've been doing this for a number of different technologies across different sectors, including the space sector. And I would just take an idea from concept all the way to first prototype for these other companies. And it got to a point where I thought that I could actually do this for myself as well. It's been successful enough for them that they were able to go off and raise millions of pounds in funding just off the back of these first prototypes. So this was the first attempt at developing a technology for this particular company. And it's been pretty successful. We've had a lot of interest in the spin-out technologies. So companies have contacted me expressing an interest in collaboration, expressing an interest in acquiring technology should it be developed further in the future. It's been a one-person company for the last 3 years, where I've operated with a regular team of subcontractors who I've known from working in different industries over the past 20 years. But it's at the point where I have more work than I can handle on my own. So I've got two job adverts open, published, and looking to grow the company.
So also exciting in that you're almost doing this on your own. So are you looking for funding, or does it depend on which company, you know, takes up your technology?
So this is the very traditional approach to business, where I am operating a revenue generating model. Typically startups have an idea and look around for funding from an investor, and a large part of the early work is just trying to find that funding. I've approached it in a different way, where I have services that are on offer, so technical consulting services, and that has brought in enough revenue and enough profit that I've been able to reinvest that profit into internal developments. And together with the Aqua Luna Challenge prize money, I've got a certain runway to keep going like this. But, you know, I'm always open to talking to investors. I don't think they were at the point where I could put together a strong enough business case to have that have a meaningful discussion with investors yet. But we're getting to that point. And I'm going to try keep going with this revenue generating business model, sort of a bootstrap approach.
Well, you're originally from South Africa, from Chatsworth. So how did you get to starting this company in the UK?
I've worked in a number of different industries in South Africa and outside of South Africa, and it was always R&D focused work. So I would come up with ideas or work on the company's ideas and develop them further to the first prototype. So I've always been doing this kind of work. It's just the benefits have always accrued to the employer. And after changing industries and fields a number of times, I can list them out. So I've worked in the petrochemical industry, the nuclear industry, in astronomy, in household consumer electronics, in the space industry, in the cosmetics industry. So it's, for me, there's always that thread of science, engineering, and technology that's connected all of these dots. So it's always been related. And I like operating on problems, where there are no established solutions, where it's not quite clear how to go about solving the problems. So you're essentially starting from a blank sheet of paper and trying to do something that somebody else finds too difficult or unsolvable. So about 3 years ago, I got to a point in my career where I thought that it's going to be really difficult for me to fit within a particular industry or a particular job role. I was looking at job adverts and I could not sort of squeeze myself into any of these boxes anymore because I'm sort of mid-career and I've worked in too many places to have to call myself a particular kind of engineer or scientist. So I was at a point where in order to sort of continue operating in this way, in this interdisciplinary way where I could just solve interesting problems that have market potential, I was sort of forced to do it on my own. And I tried working at a startup company first to try and just dip my toe into that world. And after 2 years at the startup company, someone else's startup company, I thought, yeah, this is interesting. I could see a few ways I would do it differently. I'm just going to jump in the deep end and try it out myself. So with kids to feed, a mortgage to pay for, only one short contract available to me, I formed the company, and it's been going for 3 years. It's been partly a surprise to me that this business model worked, but it's been working, so I don't question it too much. And the revenue has been growing steadily over those 3 years to a point where I can now hire some additional people to help me and see where this all goes.
Well, any new ideas brewing? Any new inventions you're thinking of?
I always have a backlog of ideas that I could work on. Should I have the time available? And hopefully taking on these new employees will allow me to work on more of them. But there's always partially completed projects. And there are quite a few sitting around me now, though the camera's blurred, that are ready for the new employees to work on. So I've got lots of ideas. And I try to focus where I can on getting things to prototype, getting them to a certain level of maturity before moving on to the next one. But I need to figure out how to work in parallel across all of these ideas, and growing the company has become essential now.
You sound to me like a real entrepreneur. Thanks, Lolan. Thank you so much for speaking to us, and good luck. And I hope that this prize opens many doors for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.